I'm really excited to finally be doing a Trillium. It's been sort of on my list for a very long time, and I don't play live really ever, so it's a perfect way to actually present this music live. And everything I've done up to this point has sort of just been recorded for films or for albums, except this newer piece called A Modern Procedure for Breathing that has only lived in a live setting. So I'm going to be taking some pieces of that. I've sort of made a suite out of that piece, and I've made a suite out of my album, Unscored. We're going to do those two things mixed with just two other new tracks that I've been working on and see how those go. And I'm going to play with a violin player, Miranda Baker Burns, who's absolutely fantastic. We rehearsed last night and it went very, very well. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun and a nice way to sort of present what I'm doing now to Fayetteville for the first time in a very long time.
I know you've worked with a violist before, and so you did a lot of transposing for violin. What was that like? And maybe how has it changed the sound up for those pieces?
No, that's a really good question. I can't really read music, and I've had to learn how to write it out of necessity. And it's always really hard for me to put stuff down on paper. And I did it for the viola stuff when it's been done two other times with viola players. And so when Miranda got on board to play violin, I just had to sit back down and look at the register of everything. It was really just a register issue. But then that gave me a chance to really look at the music again and make some more specific notes. And it's different. The music, it almost sings a little bit more. I recorded our rehearsal yesterday and listened to it this morning, and it's almost more beautiful. Is like a short way to put it. It's like it really, the notes almost feel like they matter even more in those higher registers. And so it gives what was a kind of a darker shade to everything. It gives it a much brighter piece of light, which is kind of exciting on a lot of the stuff. And she plays so, so, so well. It elevates the songs in a way. And which is really cool because I don't have any training with any of this. So it's fun to now get to spend some time with just a violin player.
You mentioned not that you don't really know how to read music. So what describe your foray into making music and where your composition process started.
Well, it started when I wanted to not play live anymore. I just played bass in bands for a very long time. And then I switched over to wanting to be home more and writing my own music, which was really just recording it into a little MacBook. And from that, you can build on stuff on top of things and make a sandwich of sound that creates a song or whatever you're working on. The specifics of it are tough because when I play things, I know exactly how I need the feel to be. But when I hand it to other people, it works much better to have pretty dedicated rehearsal time to work on things. Because I think I've mentioned before, my music is funny. I hand it to people and it's like four whole notes and that's it. And you look at that and think, oh, that's no big deal. But it's a lot more than that, because by the middle of the third whole note, we need to all be crying. And so how we articulate that and how we build that and how the bow changes happen inside of that, I don't know how to write that down. So that's why it's wonderful getting to work with somebody else at this point. So, you know, the process of it is just trying out different things and combining different sounds on my end that I like, and then getting together with people and learning how to interpret that. So it's definitely, it's still a communal process for me. I like that. My process still goes back to, let's go to the garage and jam with the drummer and the bass player and the guitar player. So I've sort of taken that into this more classical realm, and I feel like I've snuck in the back door and I shouldn't be doing this. At the end of the day, it's just, they're all just different sounds. They're different colors, and the colors that I like at this point are more classically oriented.
Let's talk about that sound. I know I've started promoting this Trillium, and I mentioned Floating Through Sonic Dreamscape.
Yeah,
and you
that
really
was a
like
great,
that.
I did.
So let's
really
expand
like
on
that,
okay. and how you describe it.
Sure.
Yourself.
No, I really like when you said that, because I think what I like to create is actually a dream state. It's sort of you detach from what you're listening to, and it's a combination of a lot of sounds because it's based around piano and strings, but there's definitely an element of electronic textures that I've created just on my own in my studio that a lot of the times we'll do a track where I start a track that is this long form of electronic texture that we then play over. It makes for a very dreamlike state that it puts you in. And it's kind of neat, too, because you don't really know where it's coming from. It's coming from the speakers, but when you hear it mixed with the piano and the strings, it's not what people usually check out. So I don't know. And that process, that color has always been important to me. I was listening to an interview with Max Richter, and he uses a lot of this kind of stuff on a very subtle level. And he was talking about the evolution of orchestras and how what we're using now with electronics, it's just new colors. It's not people sort of like, oh, electronics, that's scary and that's bad music and that's not okay. It's like, it's not, it's only electronic because that's how you're able to present it. But all it is another color to put out into the palette of a piano and a string or a guitar, or whatever.
And you felt the piano. Describe, where did that come from? And maybe what does it do to the sound?
The felting of the piano came about by listening to Max Richter and Olafur Arnolds and these guys, that it's a sound. The piano sound is so different. You go, what is that? And Niels Fromm's another big one. And you look into that and you go, oh, okay. So they have put something, be it like a t-shirt. So there's something between the hammers and the strings, and it gives it a softer sound. And what that then ends up creating is you then hear the sound of the keys moving and you hear the sound of the hammers hitting, and you get those sort of creaks out of the piano that people are usually trying to make disappear. People think piano and it's this one thing, and you can have synth pianos and you can have all these different kinds of pianos, but when you get a real piano and you really mic it and you play it really, really soft, it's the way that that sound comes out. And I think that is as important as the notes that are being played and as what you're trying to get across. I mean, that you can play one really soft chord with that felt, and just the way that sort of adds into that dreamscape, it fills the room in a much different way. It's so, I sort of put it, it's like looking at the sun with sunglasses and looking at the sun without sunglasses. And I prefer sunglasses when I look at the sun.
Well, thanks so much, and I'm excited to hear your Trillium's Law in concert.
Yeah, Katie, thank you so much. I think it's going to be fantastic.